Hi, I'm Pastor Torrin Brooks, and welcome to Faith Christian Church. So glad you decided to join us today. For the next 30 minutes, we're going to be looking through God's Word and finding ways for it to apply to our lives today. Hope you enjoy this morning's sermon. We celebrate as Christmas, but I want to finish up Paul's, what I consider one of the most important pieces of Scripture as Paul's writing to 2 Corinthians. And today I want to talk to you about growing through thorns. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 says this in verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he, the Lord, said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Can I tell you, we live in a society today that thrives on highlighting and gloating about the people who have it all together. We live in a world that when someone has a strength, it's exposed and they drain it for all it's worth. Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, let's just talk about, I don't know, I'll just pick a subject I'm familiar with, football. And last night, no matter how much screaming I did at the TV, LSU still won the SEC championship and beat Georgia, who I really, really, really hoped would beat LSU because nobody has beat LSU this year. And everyone started focusing on the individual players that had these great strengths. Do you know, in today, in college football, they will take a student who has an exceptionally good talent. They will put him in front of the TV. They will do interviews with him. They will begin to exploit his past, exploit his family. They will put his name on a bag of T-shirts and sell them for thousands of dollars and yet not give him enough scholarship money to buy food. Can I tell you, we have this problem when we just want to take and look at strong people and exploit them until their strength is used up, is gone. And we highlight this. And the problem is, we do this in the Christian world too. We have people who pastor mega churches, who write 10 or 15 books a year, it seems like. And they have all these great staff, and they have all these great programs. And we highlight them, and we glory in them. And yet, really, the truth of the matter is, the pastor may be the pastor, but he's got 45 people on staff. I used to always pick on Joel Osteen. God have to forgive me on this, but. I used to laugh because he was always happy preaching. He never frowned. He was always smiling. And it occurred to me, well, he's got so many staff, he probably never deals with any people anymore. He's just happy. And he can be. Because all he's got to do is stand up in front of 36,000 people and preach for 15 or 25 minutes. And he's done. His obligation's over. He can go write another book or... But we strengthen that, and then all of a sudden, as soon as a hint of controversy comes in, wham! We put them down. We slam them, and we hurt them. We say things about them, and we put them at what we consider their place. And we look at strength as if that's something we should have too. Do you know, in fact, it's very interesting that all my life as I was growing up, I was told, don't let people see your weakness. You got to be strong. If you're sad, just don't cry. I was even told one time that real men never cry. I've learned different. In fact, I don't think you can ever heal until you cry. You can take that for what it's worth. But man, let me tell you something. If your heart is broken and you haven't cried, you need to pray to God for tears. Because until you cry, you're never going to get the breakthrough and healing you need. Because let me tell you something. The Bible does promise one thing about tears. God counts them. So think about that for a minute. But I was told, don't show any weakness. Don't show any signs of weakness, because if you do, they're going to pounce on you and they're going to take you down. And then I read about Paul. Now, Paul, in the very beginning of his life, when he was called Saul, was a man of strength. In fact, the Bible said this guy's name terrorized entire churches. When they would hear Saul is coming in the town, listen, people panicked. They would run and hide. In fact, even after his great conversion on the Damascus Road, people still ran from Saul. In fact, the disciples wouldn't even trust him. No, that's pretty bad. You know, here's the disciples. They're supposed to be full of faith and power. They're God's chosen 12. And God is sitting there and he's saying, listen, you're to preach to whoever will listen. And then all of a sudden here comes Saul and they're like, God, can I take a rain check? Do you not know who's here? Do you not know he's coming? He killed Bob. I say Bob, you know there was nobody named Bob. They had weird names back then, but you know, Bob. So he killed Bob last week. I don't want to mess with him. I'm running. Lock the door. Saul was a man of strength and power. He had authority. In fact, when he walked up to the chief priest and says, hey, you give me permission, I'll go take out the church in Damascus. Give me permission. You know, they didn't even argue with him. The Bible doesn't say, and the chief priest went into deliberations and began to discuss, is this a good thing for us or a bad thing for us? Well, I don't know. Let's put it in committee for 6 weeks and let's find out. Let's do a poll and see if anything shows up. And if this is a positive thing for us, then we'll move on this. No. Paul said, I'm going to Damascus to kill the church. And they said, do it. We'll move out of your way. You know, don't let us get in the way. Don't let us stop you. And on the way to Damascus, he has an incredible encounter with God. Now, the funny thing is, I don't think any of us could ever imagine what it's like to have this kind of experience. But a light comes down out of heaven. Paul is smitten to the ground. He's stricken blind for 3 whole days. And he goes from being the man of power to a man who is entirely dependent on the people around him. Paul begins to realize something. His strength and his authority came from a rage inside of him that had nothing to do with God. By the time Paul writes the second letter to the Corinthian church, this is what he's saying. Listen, it's not about strength. It's about weakness. You've got to remember, when Paul's writing to the Corinthians, he's telling them things like this. I'm not writing to you with flamboyant words. In fact, when I come and preach to you, I don't even have an elegant speech prepared for you. I come with fear and trembling. In fact, I can't even stand up straight without shaking, because it's not me. It's the power of God inside of me. And he takes this weakness. And listen to what he says. He says, listen, he goes, of all the things in the world to happen, well, let me just read what he's already been through by the time he gets there. Do you know, when Paul was given his sight, do you realize that God showed him everything he would have to suffer for the kingdom's sake? There's a tiny little verse in there. It says, after he sent the man of God to go lay hands on Paul and have him receive his sight, he said, I'm also going to show Paul everything he's going to have to suffer for my name's sake. We're lucky enough in the fact that in 2 Corinthians, Paul actually lists everything he's been through so far. Listen to this list. It's found in 2 Corinthians 11. He said in verse 23, it says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, and stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, and deaths often. What? Did you just hear Paul? He said, I've taken more stripes than anybody else. He said, I've been in prison more frequently. Now listen, you can't do that in America. You can't hold down a steady job as a pastor if you keep getting thrown in jail. If the evangelism committee on the Assemblies of God finds out you keep getting locked up, they might take your credentials. What do you keep on preaching the gospel? You gotta stop that. They're throwing you in jail. He says, and in death often. Now, here's a guy who says, listen, I've been so close to death, we're like cousins. He says, in fact, they already knocked me dead once with rocks, and God said, I'm not done with you yet. What do you want? I want you to go suffer some more. Oh, really? Brilliant. Can you imagine? God saves him from death only to send him back to die again. You know, we used to have this saying, we read it, I regret that I only have but one life to give for my country. Here's Paul, I regret that I only have one life to give for God. They kill him with stones, he comes back from the dead, and goes, I guess we'll have to do this again, won't we? He says, listen, from the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 5 times. Can you imagine the mauled back of Paul? 3 times I was beaten with rods. Oh my goodness. Can I explain this one to you? You think waterboarding is bad. Check this out. They would make him lay on a table on his stomach, set his feet over the edge of a wooden table. They would set his feet so they would come back right here, and they would beat the bottom of his feet with rods up against the table. Physically, it should have broken every bone in his foot. This is a guy that walks everywhere. No wonder he takes a ship every time he gets a chance. Of course, that doesn't turn out really good either. Why? Because he says, once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked. Come on, people. The first time you get shipwrecked, it's an accident. The second time, it's very leery. He got on the boat a 3rd time. What's he hoping for? The set? He says, a day and the night I've been in the deep. Let me tell you something. That doesn't mean deep sleep. It means out alone. Abandoned. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen. You know, this is bad. If his enemies don't like him, his countrymen don't like him even more. He's saying, listen, I'm fighting my own countrymen. I'm fighting the Gentiles. I got perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, and even perils among false brethren, and weariness and toils and sleeplessness often, and hunger and thirst and fastings often, and cold and nakedness, besides other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for the church. Now, can you imagine this for a moment? Can you really imagine this? Paul's saying, you think, that we've all got to be strong. Paul says, listen, I've tried strong, and it only led to more problems. It only led to God knocking me and putting me in my place. Now, if there's anybody who's sick and weak, it's Paul. Listen to this. And to top it all off, the Bible says that God allows a messenger of Satan to be a thorn in his flesh. If it's not bad enough to suffer through all these things Paul did, he also has to have this thorn in the flesh. And he prays. Now listen, now you would think that the man of God, Ron, you know, you think that the man of God, when he prayed, God would hear him. And if he was sick or hurting, God would say, hey, you've already been locked up. You've already been beaten. You've already been, sure, thorn, no problem. And instead, God does something totally erroneous. He says, listen, he says, my grace is sufficient for you. What? You mean after all this hard work, God can't even remove a thorn? Now, I'm going to tell you right now, it's obvious that it probably wasn't a thorn. Can we just be clear on that right now? In fact, scholars argue. I read about 17 commentaries and had 40 opinions. But I'm telling you, no matter what it was, listen, you have to understand that God can do anything. So it's not like God couldn't remove it. God chose not to. Now, can you imagine God saying to Paul, the great writer of the epistles, the great pastor of the churches, God telling Paul, no. No. Well, that's not right. Pastor, I think you've got the wrong translation. No. No, it's right. What does he mean, my grace is sufficient for you? I'm reminded of a story concerning Jesus and Peter. Jesus had risen from the dead, and he's walking with Peter, and he is telling Peter, Peter, do you love me? Do you remember this story? He says, Peter, do you love me? And he says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He talks about some sheep to feed them. He asks Peter again, and after three times, which I find very coincidental, Peter denied Jesus how many times? And Jesus asked Peter the same question how many times? I ain't just saying. It could be coincidence, but I doubt it. You know, same thing with Gideon. How many times did God test? Did Gideon test God? He laid down a fleece how many times? How many times did God? How many times did God cut the army? I'm just saying, you know. just saying. But he looks over at Peter and says, Peter, you know, when you were young, you got to do what you wanted to do and go where you wanted to go. But when you get older, people are going to bind your hands. They're going to take you and they're going to kill you. And Peter, not wanting to be the only person to die for Christ, besides Christ, says, what about him? He looks over at John. He says, what about John? Not knowing that John's going to be thrown onto an island with murderers and thieves and all kinds of other horrible person. Not knowing that John's going to be boiled and thrown into a vat of boiling oil. Not knowing that John is going to be suffering all of his life for the kingdom of God. He says, what about John? Because I don't want to be the only one to have to die for this. And Jesus looks over at Peter and says something very fascinating to me. He says, Peter, what's it to you? If he lives, talking about John, if he lives till I return, what's it to you? You follow me. See, a lot of times the condition of following God in the 21st century in American church is, God, as long as you answer my prayers, I'm on board. But the moment you say no, my grace is sufficient for you, that won't cut it for me. I want to be honest with you. God never promised to save you from your circumstance. Can we just be clear? Did we get that on tape? I hope we did. That's good. Make sure they hear that out in TV land. God never promised to save you from your circumstance. He only promised to save you from your sins. That's it. And we've gotten into this idea, this mindset, that God has to be the all-answering God instead of the all-powerful God. He's got to be the every time I call, he has to answer or I'm quitting kind of situation. But can I tell you, God doesn't work like that. And especially as a believer, because Paul gives us a little insight to why God doesn't always heal us. Because Paul says, God's strength is perfected in my weakness. In other words, what's he saying? When you do something that you can't physically do on your own, people know it has to be God. See, there are times that we live in this life, there are things that we have to be weak at so that God can show his strength through us. Here's one. Some of us have a really weak time learning how to forgive. And when you see people that go up to people that hurt them and say, I forgive you, you know that's got to be God. When you have people that are scared to death, listen to me, scared to death of talking in public to people about Jesus. Maybe they're a stutterer like my father was. I love this. My dad had a stuttering problem. In fact, mom was an all state choir girl. She loved singing in the choir, and she tried to get my dad to sing. That didn't work. and dad stuttered a lot, and they asked my dad to teach Sunday school. Don't they understand? He's only got 40 minutes to teach. If he stutters, it'll take him 80 minutes to get through it all. You can't take a stuttering man and put him in front of a bunch of people, make him nervous, and ask him to teach the Word of God, can you? Yes, you can, because in his weakness, God's strength is shown through. We say all the time, God, I can't do that because it's not my thing. And God says, it's my thing. You get on board. I love what the video showed earlier. This isn't about strength. It's not about success. It's about sacrifice. It's not about will. It's about obedience. It's not about what we think we're good at. It's about what God wants to do through you and me. And it may not be our strength. It may not be what we're good at. Paul says, but when God takes everything that people say I'm bad at and he starts doing good through it, then guess what? God gets all the glory. Later, Paul's going to say, you know what? I'm glad I got those thorns. Do you know why? Because every time people say, how do you do it? I say, God's grace. How do you get up, Paul, in the morning with those broken bones in your feet and walk to the next town to preach the gospel? It's because of God's grace. Paul, how can you write all those letters when you can barely see the letters in front of you with all the things you've done? You've had stones hitting your head. You've had all kinds of nerve damage from the stoning. You've had from the beatings. How do you do it, Paul? He said, because of God's grace. Some of us got to stop begging God to fix us and just say, God, give me grace. See, there has to come a point when we say, God, you're great. We've got to learn God's grace is enough. It is enough. It works. It works. It works. God's grace helps a person who's lost their husband or wife make it through the day and still feel complete because God is there. It makes a child who's been abandoned on the side of the road know he has a heavenly father because grace intervenes in their lives. It takes a person who's behind bars, who may be guilty, may be innocent, but because of God's grace, they're able to say, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I may be behind these bars, but I'm free in Christ Jesus because of God's grace. And see, I experienced this firsthand. The time I found out my wife had diabetes. Don't think for one moment this pastor didn't fall on his face before God and pray. Same thing when I found out my daughter had diabetes. I mean, what's with scientists? They're supposed to skip a generation. I don't even get that lucky. And I pray and I pray and I pray and I have to say, God, if you choose not to, God, would you help me accept your grace? I love the story of the three Hebrew children faced with the fire, and they stand before and they said, listen, I want you to know, King, you may think you're mighty. You may think you're strong because you've got us bound up. But let me tell you something. Our God is more than able to save us from you, O King. But if he does not, we still will not bow to you. Why? Because his grace is sufficient. I told you I always found it humorous where the people dropped them because the people who were carrying them to the edge of the fire fell dead. They walked from the edge into the middle of the fire because that's where God was. Can I tell you, Paul says, listen, I love weakness now. I used to think strength was a thing. I used to think as long as I'm strong, people will respect me. They'll look up to me. But now I've learned when people see my weakness, they see God. And I would rather them see God than see me. Do you understand? I would rather them see God than see me. I would rather them be able... I'd rather them be able to see the work of God in my life where nobody else says they had a hand in it. Do you remember when Abram went to Melchizedek and he offered a tithe to Melchizedek, and later he went over to the king, and the king of Sodom came up to Abram and he said to Abram, he said, listen to me. He says, let me have some of that and I'll give you something back. And Abram said, I will not take anything from you, O king, lest you say it was because of you that I defeated these other kings. Abram said, listen, it's all about him seeing God. Paul says, listen, you want to learn to grow? Learn to accept God's grace. Learn to accept that there are some things in this life that aren't going to change. My wife and my daughter may never be healed of diabetes. They may never come up with a cure in my lifetime or theirs. My children may never be, their minds may never come back. They may always have autism and autistic-like side effects and things like that. They may always act that way. There may always be a communication barrier between me and my youngest son. But God's grace is sufficient. And we're going to make it. And when people say, how did you do it? I'll say it was all because of Jesus Christ. Because his grace is enough. It works. And when God says, no, my grace is sufficient for you, I don't go, it's not fair. Ah, I quit. I don't throw a temper tantrum, throw pots and pans around the house. I don't blame my spouse. I don't blame the mayor or the governor. I say, God, your grace is enough. I have learned in my life, and I hope you grow into a place where you learn in yours. Not everything in our lives are going to work out the way we want them to. Jesus even said, listen, in this life, you're going to have everything you want. Is that what he said? No, not quite. I caught some of you asleep, so you weren't looking. No, he said, in this life, you're going to have persecution and trials. You're going to have tribulation. Listen, I don't know if you've caught on to that word, but like in Revelation, tribulation is a bad thing. Trials we can kind of handle because, you know, they're trials, okay? When we used to live in Memphis, driving the church was a trial. If I could keep my salvation for the 40 minutes it took to drive around to get to the church through Memphis traffic. Trials are, you know, they're tough. Tribulations are bad. Tribulations like the whole world's falling apart. Third of the world burns up in fire. Third of the world gets poisoned. Third of the world gets this. Third, it's like the whole world is falling apart. That kind of tribulation. Jesus said, guess what? You're going to have those. That's like going to happen in your life. But then he says something miraculous. He says, but fear not. Why? Because I've overcome the world. He says, fear not. For I've overcome the world. That grace that God has for each and every one of us can help us get from here to home. The songwriter was right when he began to talk about God's amazing grace. He ever thought about the words, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. For I once was lost, but now I've been found. I was blind. Can you imagine Paul being able to sing this song if he lived in today's day? Oh, I remember what it was like to be spiritually blind too. It's not all about the physical blindness for 3 days. Sometimes it was about the spiritual darkness he lived in all the beginning of his life. I was blind, but now I see. Think about that. And I love the last. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as a sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than the beginning, than when we first begun. Why? Because there really is something amazing about his grace. No matter how many thorns you have, God can still get us through because of his grace. I want to encourage some of you this morning who are going through trials and tribulations. Some of them I know. Some of them I can see on your face that you've connected with what I've been talking about. I want to encourage you, live in God's grace. Let the grace of God guide you and help you to grow through the thorns. And guess what? If you'll trust in that grace, that same grace that's brought us safe thus far, is a grace we can trust to the day we meet death and pass from death to life, from evening to morning. I'm telling you, and we all need his grace. So glad you joined us today, but you really should visit in person. Service times are at 10:30 Sunday morning, 6 p.m. Sunday night, and 7 p.m. on Wednesday night. We're located at 582 Rockingham Road. It's on Highway 5 across from Everyday Inn in Bellows Falls. You can also visit our website at www.faithchristianag.com. God bless you. Have a great day.